A two-place, quick-build rotorcraft, complete for $46K? I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Devon Hansen, who is the program manager for the Sparrowhawk program at Grone Brothers Aviation. The Sparrowhawk, which has been out for a couple of years now, is a two-place gyroplane kit, and the third iteration of the kit is out now in a quick-build form, and we wanted to talk about some of the improvements and what's going on with gyroplanes in general. Devon, first of all, thanks for taking a few minutes out to talk to us today.
My pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about the timeline and ancestry of the Sparrowhawk and how it got to this third model.
I appreciate that. We have been producing this aircraft for about 4 years now. It started out basically the design that it is today. However, we've gone through a lot of iterations on that, making the aircraft much easier to build, much quicker to build. And we started out with the standard Sparrowhawk, then we went to the Sparrowhawk 2 with a number of upgrades, and then have now just introduced the Sparrowhawk 3, which is basically the same look of the aircraft, same feel flying, but dramatically easier to build and a safer aircraft because we have completed many of the more difficult tasks that the customers used to have to do.
Well, and I think your press release mentioned, too, that in particular, you paid attention to completing some of the assemblies that were critical to safety of the aircraft that might be opportunities for a customer to go wrong.
That is correct. Items such as we now have a wiring harness for the aircraft with the harnesses all attached together as one unit with different trunks that are labeled, each wire end as completed and is labeled. So you look in the build manual and then find the number, and then it tells you where to attach that. Wiring has been a critical thing for many of the customers in the past, and it really has simplified that and improved the safety. In addition to that, we've installed almost all of the components on the engine, including the redrive system, alternator, pre-rotator. All of those things are already installed on the engine, installed correctly, aligned, so that when the customer gets it, they just take the engine, lift it up, and set it into place.
I know that in the world of experimental aircraft kits in general, it's not uncommon to, for example, open up EAA's magazine and go to the page of, you know, what our members are building or restoring and see people who are having their first flight after 10 years of working on a fixed-wing plane. You've got over 100 kits out there now, and I have seen personally a number of them flying. What is the estimated build time, or do you even post one? Because I know some of the folks who've bought your kits appear to have got them in the air fairly easily in a single season.
They have. Sparrowhawk 1 took longer to build than the Sparrowhawk 2. Now, the Sparrowhawk 3, the reports that we're getting back is in the order of about 300 hours now to build the Sparrowhawk 3, and that's from start to finish. The only thing that would be in addition to that would be your painting and finish type items. But it has dramatically reduced the build time, but also the frustration of building. This really is a pleasure to build now, and people enjoy that. And in addition to that, we have not only what we've done with the aircraft and what we've completed, but also we have a 350-page build manual as well that gives the customer the information they need to build it correctly.
I think the single biggest obstacle to some builders of the early kits was the tail assembly, and that turned out to be a fairly popular option. I think it cost about $900 on the original kit, but that alone must be a considerable time savings over the early kits.
Yes, that is a dramatic improvement. People really enjoy that. Composite work is something that a few people have the capability of doing, but most people don't have that background, and it's an important part of that. So we have completed the tail now into one piece, and they just have to do the final finish work on it, final sanding and prep for paint, not only on the tail, but the cabin as well.
Let me ask you how the Sparrowhawk fits into Grone Brothers as an entity, because I know Grone Brothers has worked on the Hawk 4 turbine-powered big gyroplane for years. The Sparrowhawk would seem to be an oddity in terms of how it fits into the mix of your products. What does the Sparrowhawk do for Grone Brothers Aviation other than bring in a little bit of incremental income?
The purpose of that is that we feel like that the gyroplane technology, gyroplane, gyrodyne, for the larger aircraft, that technology really applies to all aspects of aviation, including the experimental market, the home-built market, as well as the larger. We're doing a project you refer to, the different kinds of things we're doing. We're even doing a project now for DARPA, for the federal government, designing a heliplane that has great speeds, in the speeds in the order of 400 miles an hour, and it still uses our gyroplane technology with some other technology that we've added to it. So we really feel like this technology covers all gamuts of aviation.
Now, I run into a lot of misunderstandings when you talk to people about gyroplanes. They don't seem to understand how they work. I know that one of my friends who flies one was criticized by one of the older pilots who was hanging out in the pilot's lounge at a small airport for coming in and doing auto-rotative landings on a busy afternoon. And the fact is that a gyroplane is in auto-rotation all the time. Explain why that's a benefit.
The reason that that's such a benefit is that that gives you the flexibility, just from a safety standpoint, of landing almost at any place that you need. A typical landing in a gyroplane from the time you touch down until you're stopped is about 30 feet. That really gives you a wide safety margin, and it allows you the flexibility. You have full control over the aircraft. We have a video, if people would like one, they can call us and we'd be happy to send it out to them, of the aircraft flying along. The pilot turns the key off and you actually see the propeller come to a stop, but the pilot has full control of the aircraft, and you have a glide ratio, a good glide ratio of about 4-1. So you have the time and you can focus on your landing as opposed to really being concerned about the aircraft where you're going to land and needing a long landing roll to touch down. This can touch down in many, many places. Very, very safe aircraft.
I think one of the reasons the misconception arises is because that for anybody who's familiar only with helicopters, the word auto-rotation is found in the chapter called Emergency Procedures.
That's correct.
But really, it's not auto-rotation in and of itself that's a danger. The problem in a helicopter is that that very frantic couple of seconds where you have to transition from normal flight to auto-rotation. If you're in auto-rotation all the time, it's essentially like flying around with a parachute out.
That is correct. If you happen to have an engine failure, you just continue to fly the aircraft. You don't need to change pitch on the rotor blades or anything. All you do is you just look and decide where you want to land, head the aircraft over there under full control, and just make a normal landing.
And the only difference between a helicopter auto-rotative landing and a gyroplane auto-rotative landing is that where the helicopter could conceivably do a straight vertical descent and then pull collective pitch at the end to soften the landing, the gyroplane would land more like a fixed wing that had lost power, where you just make sure you maintain forward airspeed and then you're able to flare at the end.
That is correct.
I'm talking today with Devon Hansen, who is the program manager for Grone Brothers Aviation's Sparrowhawk. The Sparrowhawk 3 quick build kit just came out. We're going to talk in a moment about some of the licensing and other regulatory issues surrounding this kit for those who are uninitiated. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Devon Hansen. the Sparrowhawk Program Manager for Grone Brothers Aviation. And Devon, when it comes to building a gyroplane, I know that there are some misconceptions, because whenever I bring up the topic among friends who aren't familiar with that type of aircraft, these things come to the surface in the conversation. There are no, at this point, special light sport aircraft gyroplanes.
That is correct.
There are some experimental light sport aircraft gyroplanes, but within a couple of days, the window to transfer the registration over to an ELSA will have run out. So at this point, the two things that could happen are you'll have to build it as an experimental amateur-built aircraft, which is really what this kit is targeted at, or at some point in the future, there's a chance that the FAA will include gyroplanes in special light sport aircraft. For someone who is going to obviously face the choice right now of buying an aircraft with that second part uncertain, there seems to be a misunderstanding. Sport pilots can fly experimental amateur-built aircraft.
That is correct.
So how would someone approach building a Sparrowhawk if he was planning to fly it as a sport pilot?
If he was planning on flying it as a sport pilot, one of the most critical things with this or with any aircraft, but with the Sparrowhawk as they build one of those, is weight requirements. You have a 1,320-pound gross weight limit, and that is the limiting factor on that. This aircraft is designed to have a gross weight of 1,500 pounds. So what they need to do when they build it, if they're going to fly it under light sport, is do everything they can do to save weight on the aircraft so that they can increase their useful load.
Are you folks trying to head in that direction?
We would ultimately like to go that direction, yes. There is a possibility of a new design, designed specifically for that. So that may be to cover the kinds of aircraft like we've talked about in the past, with all the way up to the large aircraft down to the small personal ones, that would fit within the scope of direction of the company.
One of the other big issues on the burner regulatorily in 2008 is the 51% rule. I know that this kit is too new for you to comment on whether or not it will wind up on an approved list, but have you folks looked carefully at the implications of the fast build components you're providing with the kit to make sure the kit will still qualify?
Yes, we have. We have looked into that extensively, and we feel like that we are certainly within not only the spirit of the regulations, but also the spirit of the regulation as well. And so by focusing our efforts on the kit, on the Sparrowhawk 3, on those areas that would, number one, be safety-type items where a customer to do it, and number two, those items that are more difficult for the customer to do, we believe that we have a safety margin in there with regard to the 51% build rule. And so we have done the analysis ourselves and looked at it and feel like that we are well within those requirements.
Well, let's finish up then with information if someone wants to know more about the Sparrowhawk gyroplane kit. First of all, having flown one, I should point out that for our listeners who aren't aware of this, there is no collective control. It's very much a stick and rudder experience, like it might be flying a tail dragger, only maybe with a little less reliance on the rudder.
That is correct. You literally can fly, if you wanted to, you could fly this aircraft with two fingers, or you can trim it out, fly it hands-free. It's a very nice aircraft to fly, very, very stable, even in turbulence. It's a nice aircraft, and it's a fun aircraft to fly. People that have flown a fixed wing, when you were up in the air flying it, you would feel like that you were flying a fixed wing aircraft. The landing and takeoffs are different. But even that is surprising, a landing where you could almost step out of the aircraft when you touch down, you're going so slow, like a gyroplane can do, is quite an eye-opener for the first time for a fixed-wing pilot.
Well, if someone wants to get more information, give us a website and a phone number.
Yes, the phone number is area code 801-973-0177. And web address is www.groenbros, groenbros.com. That takes you to the Groen Brothers Aviation website, and you can see the other types of aircraft we're working on, as well as www.americanautogyro, all one word, americanautogyro.com.
And that's gyro spelled G-Y-R-O.
Correct.
Can you give us an MSRP? Is there a price that we could expect to pay for a kit?
Yes, $45,500. And that includes engine and rotor blades, basically everything they need to accept gas and paint to get it into the air. It does not include radios, those kinds of things, because you don't need those to get in the air. And so many people have different items that they want in radios that we don't include the radios with it.
I understand that completely. And not everyone would need a transponder.
That's correct.
Do that as well. Well, Devon, thank you very much for taking some time out. We wish you all success, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in the future, either in future Aerocasts or at some of the aviation events this year.
We will look forward to it.
Talking today with Devon Hansen, the Sparrowhawk Program Manager for Grone Brothers Aviation. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.